This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The documentary Grassroots in Drylands takes us into neighborhoods in different parts of the Middle East where community activists are working to help residents find services and guarantee their rights. Grassroots in Drylands will be screened on Thursday, April 14th in Knaus Hall at Western Michigan University. After the film, the director Helene Kladeski and one of the subjects of the documentary, Nua Dwiket Shar, will speak and answer questions. Their visit is part of the Center for the Humanities Reimagining Community Series, and they join us via Skype. Thank you for being with us.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Helene, let's begin with you. What made you pick this project? You have a long history in documentary film, so what made you focus in on these particular community activists?
Well, I grew up in a community of Holocaust survivors. I'm from Toronto, and most of the adults I knew, including my parents, had survived Auschwitz, Bergen-Belsen, many ghettos across Eastern Europe. And I grew up in a way which looked up to Israel as a kind of promised land. And as I became a filmmaker, very concerned with issues of justice and witnessing, I, of course, started to look at the Middle East, in particular Israel, in the 80s, just before the first Intifada. I made a film called Shoot and Cry, which questioned the occupation. And 20 years later, I was still questioning the occupation. And I must say, kind of losing hope, especially it was a time when there was the war between Israel and Gaza, Operation Cast Lead, in 2008. And I was really, really looking for a way to think about the conflict. And very luckily, I ran into a group of social workers that were studying at McGill University in Montreal, which led me to understand their work and discover what they were doing in neighborhoods in the Middle East. These were disadvantaged neighborhoods working on small projects, but with the same vision of creating a region of equal rights. And it was at one of these centers that I met Nua.
And you ended up following her. You also went into Jordan. You're also in Israel. So did you want to get a sort of geographic representation of the area? And were you also looking for people who were doing some different type of work?
I was looking for a kind of new way to think about the conflict. We were hearing, you know, in the news constantly about these big meetings of leaders and territory. And it seemed like the kind of language was getting nowhere. I was only seeing more and more conflict and military incursion and more polarization. And among these social workers, what I discovered were people from different sides of the conflict, but talking about the same things, about reducing conflict by building people's sense of rights and ownership of rights. And this really excited me because I saw a way forward where people from across borders of conflict were imagining a place where people of the region could share equal rights and thus find a way to reduce antagonism, reduce conflict, reduce hatred, and understand each other through similar experiences, in particular experiences of discrimination and poverty and lack of services and being on the lower stratum of society. For me, it was a very original perspective on the conflict, not to go towards the big leaders, but to go towards the small underserviced communities, to look how people were being affected by the conflict on the ground.
Nua, tell us a little bit about the work that you were doing when you first met Helene.
Yeah, I've been working with the Community Service Center in Nablus. And our work was, we adopt the notion of rights in our work, where people are entitled for rights and they should work to achieve or to realize these rights. So first I did my master's degree here at McGill, where I studied community organizing and development in social work. And then I went back to Palestine in 2008 and started working at the center, in particular on the housing program, where our mission is to improve housing conditions for the very marginalized population in the West Bank, in cooperation with the families and with the community. And our goal, or the motivation for us to do that work, that everybody entitled to have a home. So it's that everybody should have a right to housing.
So when you were approached about being featured in a documentary, did you have any concerns about that? Were you worried about it getting in the way of doing what you were trying to do? Did you worry that it might in some way be exploitative? I guess I'm kind of maybe wondering if you could take us through the relationship or the trust that you and Helene worked towards in order to make this work.
Yeah, it's as Helene said, this film started, or she started working this film in 2008, and that when I first met her, and she started shooting the film in 2013. So it took a long time, like talking about it and discussing different ideas, and she coming to visit us in the center and going with us to different sites and visiting different families. So the process to build trust, it took time. But Helene, first for me to participate in it, I wanted to be part of it, but I didn't know exactly how it's gonna be at the end. But what helped me to continue is like how Helene also worked with us, that she was first concerned about our safety, concerned about what we want and how we want to do. So I was with the other people involved with Helene in making of the film. So we discussed all the details. We were working together as a team. And that's what makes me feel more comfortable. And I trusted her, and I continue. That was the result, like the film was the result of the work, our work as a team.
I think, Gordon, what I discovered as we were doing this film, especially when you're working with groups that are very disadvantaged and groups that are in conflict because of the bigger political situation, we were working with groups that usually don't speak to one another. It demanded a lot of thinking and a lot of talk and a lot of questioning between myself and the people in the film, because as Nua said, for me, security was very, very important, and also respect. The talk that we're going to be participating in Michigan is called Reimagining Community. And the work that we did through the film tried to reimagine community, not just being subjects, but being participants of this film project. Took a lot of back and forth, and I'm really glad it did, because I think we got to something that's very real. And it's interesting, when we show the film now, it brings people together. Often films about the Middle East, there's so much anger, there's so much sadness, that the screenings become very polarized and furious, and there's a lot of outrage. Well, that can happen with our film too, but much more, what we're finding is people able to understand and identify with the other and realize that what's important here is this other kind of vision where people do share the same rights and can live together one day, maybe in a more accepting way.
I wanted you to talk a little bit about that concept of people's rights, because that comes up over and over again in this film. And in some cases, it's about their rights to public services. How important are those in terms of people who are, you know, just trying to get by day to day in these different parts of the Middle East?
Well, the idea is that all the human beings share the same rights, and everybody, despite their color, despite their gender, their religion, where they live, they are entitled to same rights, because they are simply, they are humans. And that was the idea, the main idea that we started off. So as we are as a group social workers who studied at McGill from Palestine, Jordan, Israel. We learned this model of right-based practice where all any practice that we do in social work, it's based on rights. We take this consideration that everybody has a right, and therefore each group of us in their community work to promote these rights and help and work with people to achieve or to get their rights.
When we think of the Middle East conflict, we often think of, you know, Israelis and Palestinians fighting one another. But there's a lot of other kinds of inequalities that are happening at the same time. Not only the inequality between Palestinians and Israelis. So there's people who in Jordan, in Israel, and Palestine that live in communities where there's a lot of conflict within within borders and across borders. And we wanted to get at the sense of complexity. When we talk about rights and about the resolution of conflict, it's a very, very complex menu and very slow in terms of creating a better way. I wanted to honor the people, the grassroots activists, the grassroots community organizers, the grassroots communities that are really trying in a very, very slow, incremental way to make their lives better. We're constantly have this barrage of headlines about, you know, ISIS and about the world leaders and their inability to talk to one another. And I think the people in our film, they might never make the headlines, but their ongoing realities and their frustrations with just getting by and getting proper health care, housing, education, that's where their struggle takes place alongside and at the same time as a wider piece. And I really wanted to honor those struggles because they are, at the end of the day, they will be very essential to a bigger piece.
When you're talking about those big picture, very complex political problems, and then you follow these people who are working very much on the ground, you know, in neighborhoods which probably they're in towns that we don't often hear of, even when we're paying attention to the big Middle East news. I'm wondering if there's a feeling on the part of those activists, and as well as maybe on your part, Helene, that the work they're doing is doing just a little bit, chipping away a little bit at the bigger picture and trying to solve the bigger problem of complex political conflict.
One thing that we kept on hearing again and again, and Nua often says this to me as well, is that the notion of hope is very important. Because I think on these small, in these small struggles and underserviced communities, when something even small happens, for example, when a new bus route is put in place because of the activism of that community, or a family sees their children going to university, that alleviates some of the frustration and gives people the sense that there is a future worth fighting for, that rights are important and can be achieved. As one character in the film says, we think of rights as a miracle, you know, as miracles in the Middle East, but they're not. They are achievable. I think that's what's so important about this film and what we're trying to get to is the sense that hope is essential to moving forward.
Yeah, I just will add to what Helene said, that if you want to look at the conflict in the Middle East and what's like, it's there for now decades and the negotiation going on and on for decades also, and they took us to nowhere. There's lots of frustration, lots of like hate and anger in the Middle East. And if you want to focus on that, that I'm sure that as an outsider for the people who see it and the people who live there, it's hopeless. No, we will reach nowhere. So for me, I believe that we have to continue working hard within our communities and across borders, and we should not lose hope to achieve peace one day, because we will reach it one day. Let's keep doing, even if we do just little bit a day, if we make a difference in a child's life one day, we will give this a child hope not to become like angry, not to become hopeless. Working with these people is very important, very, very important to work on the people on the grassroots, to believe, like in Palestine, for example, to believe at the first spot that they have rights and they are able to achieve these rights. I think finding this internal peace within the people will help to achieve the bigger peace that we are all looking for.
As one person in the film says, Gordon, you know, this film, when people hear about that word peace, it's this big, all-encompassing solution to everything. Well, our film is not about that, but it's about the little pieces that make that big piece possible one day.
And do you come away after seeing the work done in these neighborhoods and in your case, actually doing this work, do you come away feeling optimistic?
I'll answer first and then Nua will tell us what she thinks. But from being there and sort of I followed these centers and social workers, community organizers and communities from 2008 to 2013. And I must say that as you know, as big a hill as I saw before me in terms of getting to real substantive change, I mean, it's huge. But at the same time, to see that people have so much in common and that the vision of community organizers and social workers can be so similar, and this vision of equal rights across borders, and people's very palpable sense that they do deserve rights, all that gave me tremendous optimism. I really do believe that that kind of fire in people's belly to see their children have a better life is a kind of energy that's going to propel us towards a more positive change.
Yeah, what I want to add, I will add to what Helene said, that for me as a Palestinian who lived under occupation all these years, to give up hope is not an option. I should hold on hope to reach a better future. If it's not for me, it's for the children, for our children, and for... This is very important, and we should work very hard to achieve it. If we are, the people from inside, lose hope, that means that we will reach nowhere. I cannot just look and say, oh, this is impossible to do and just, okay, it will be easy to hide. The hard work is, no, despite all these difficulties, I will keep going. I will do even if it's a little bit to help people to see that it's we can make a difference. We can together make a change. That's what will help us at the end to achieve the bigger peace or to at least to have a better, like to have a better future. So for me, hope is not something I choose. It's something that I should have always to keep going, because it's my duty to help myself and my people and the people in the region to reach a better place one day, hopefully.
Helene and Nua, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. We hope everyone will come out and also join into this discussion. We'd love to hear from people's sense of the projects in the film and what we see as one way forward.
Helene Glodeski is the director of Grassroots and Dry Lands. Nua Dwikoyoshar is one of the activists profiled in the documentary. They will speak after a screening of Grassroots and Dry Lands on Thursday, April 14th in Western Michigan University's Knaus Hall. It's part of the Center for the Humanities Reimagining Community Series, and Helene and Nua joined us via Skype. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.